This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony. In 1909, Richard Strauss was sitting on top of the musical world. This was a time in which the most famous composers were treated almost like pop stars, and Strauss was the highest paid composer alive. He had just finished his opera Elektra, which was a huge success despite the fact that it was almost modernist in the way that it pushed the boundaries of harmony and tonality. 4 years earlier, Strauss had found success and scandal with his opera Salome, so by this point he was ready for something completely different. "Now I will write a Mozart opera," he said. Six years earlier, Strauss had met the poet and playwright Hugo von Hofmannsthal, who had just scored a success with a new adaptation of Sophocles' Elektra. After thinking about it for 3 years, Strauss asked von Hofmannsthal to adapt his play to a libretto. The results were Strauss's opera Elektra and, as Humphrey Bogart said, the beginning of a beautiful friendship that produced another half dozen successes before von Hofmannsthal's untimely death in 1929. Strauss's Mozart opera was to be called Der Rosenkavalier, The Knight of the Rose, and von Hofmannsthal used a variety of sources for his libretto, including a play by Molière. Strauss was so pleased with it that he said it virtually set itself to music. On the surface, it's a romantic comedy, but like all good rom-coms, it's about much more than that. Social climbing, the subtle messages of language, the mysterious passage of time, grace under fire, and the power of love itself. The central character is the Marschallin, the wife of the local field marshal who's taken a much younger lover. Her poor cousin, Baron Ox, comes to her for advice. He's engaged to marry Sophie, the much younger daughter of a wealthy contractor who wants Baron Ox's title as much as the Baron wants the girl's family money. Custom demands that before he can propose, the girl must be presented with a silver rose. So he asks the Marschallin to suggest a young man of suitable background and bearing to take on the role of the Knight of the Rose, the Rosenkavalier. She volunteers Octavian, her young lover, who is also her cousin, and of course, he and Sophie fall in love at first sight. Through a series of degrading tricks, the Baron's plans are undone, and he and the Marschallin give up their young loves, the Marschallin with sentimental dignity, the Baron in an atmosphere of rowdy farce. In 1944, the New York Philharmonic played a suite from Der Rosenkavalier under their new music director, Artur Rozinski. No one was given credit as the arranger, but it was most likely Rozinski himself, but quite possibly with some help from his young assistant conductor, Leonard Bernstein. It was soon published with Strauss's approval. He'd lost almost everything in the war and was in dire need of some extra income. The suite begins with a prelude that gives us a pretty clear picture of what the Marschallin and Octavian do for fun in the evening. The rose scene is introduced with the first of many waltzes. Richard Strauss was no relation to the family of Johann Strauss, the waltz king, but maybe subconsciously he felt he needed to live up to the name. He certainly did. Thank you. Octavian presents the rose to the blushing Sophie, which leads to their first love duet. A lush string melody indicates the blooming love between them. But the scandal of it all breaks the mood after they are seen together. One of the most famous waltzes in all of opera is this one, in which Baron Ochs declares that no night with him can ever be too long. The suite returns to the presentation of the rose. Which leads to the three simultaneous soliloquies of the Marshalline, Octavian, and Sophie. As Octavian finally finds the courage to cross the stage, from his old love to his new. Octavian and Sophie's final duet leads to another of Ochs's waltzes. And a rousing finale. Der Rosenkavalier was a smash hit, and arrangements of the music began appearing almost immediately. For everything from violin and piano to mandolin duet, band arrangements for each branch of the military service, salon orchestra, and even zither, as well as numerous orchestral arrangements that show off all the glitter and sparkle of some of the most infectious music ever written for the opera stage. This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony.